Thank you. Okay, today we will hear a talk on step three, which is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Please give a warm welcome to Babe K from Olean, New York. Thank you, Babe.
Hey, your kids, babe, alcoholic. And yeah, this is a step three kind of day. I got waken up by a sponsee going through a terrible ordeal. She was sexually assaulted and she was looking for her part in this thing. And we were doing a step three and we ended up talking to step four. How do we find out our part in this thing? Was there's a self-determined objective that she was doing? And then I was working with another sponsee just before, well, just before this, and we were actually at step three in the book. And then I got a call from my joined at the hip sponsee, and she's winning the contest. She called to say, "Babe, I'm speaking at another meeting at noon. I can't go to hear you." I said, "We got him surrounded, kid." But I said, "And I'll get a resentment because all these people are going to follow you." I do see a few familiar faces. But I don't talk any different if there's three people or 300 people. It's just my experience with this step. And just 2 days ago, I talked on step three at another meeting, and it was a bunch of old geezers that have been sober since Jesus was a kid. And so I talked about what step three was like when I first took it, what happened to what it's like now. And step three gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I reaffirm that decision every single morning. For over the last 22 years, I guess if you think it's important, my sobriety date's March 2nd, 2002. So I should be an adult. I am not one of those. I'm one of God's kids. He's the director, he's the father. I'm the kid. I don't get to be an adult. That's why I said I'll try not to swear because God will slap me. But the talk I had for a couple hours before this was at the beginning of step three. You know, and how many times do we hear in a meeting, don't make any major decisions in your first year of recovery or sobriety, whichever one you want to use. And step three is the most important decision I ever made in my life. So for a year, I got to sit and wallow in my own self-pity, my own delusions, and then I can make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand them. And I wish Bill had left the original manuscript the way it was. He says that we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care and direction of God. He sneaks it back in because hereafter he's the director, follow the dictates of a higher power. So Bill doesn't really demote God from being the dictator, the director. But, you know, they said, "Oh, Elkies don't like following directions." Well, let him die. You know, if you are convinced that if I am convinced that I'm an alcoholic, that no human power can relieve my alcoholism and that only God can and will if I seek Him. And I like the original manuscript just says God can and will, doesn't even talk about seeking. May you find Him now. Wait a second. All I got to do is seek Him. But it's in the seeking that I find. So what does it talk about at the beginning of this? You know, the whole old babe's old way of thinking. And, you know, we hear in meeting, first thought wrong. I wake up every single morning saying, "Morning, God, here I am, surprise me." Is that thought wrong? That's the first thought I start with every single day. I can't wait. I'm going to probably get into what step three is like now because it's so much more fun. It's the other than frequent contact with newcomers and each other. My third step reaffirmation is the bright spot of every morning. I do wake up, "Morning, God, here I am." That's me coming to God. That's my own little set-aside prayer. Help me forget everything I think I know about you, God. Show me a brand new day and surprise me. That's me coming to God. Help me be awake to your miracles all day long. I wake up, you know, this old meat vessel is falling apart. I wake up in terrible pain from arthritis every day. I got a 74-year-old prostate, and so I got the bum knees, and I'm trying to waddle to the bathroom before I pee in my socks. and I'm saying the third step prayer, God, I offer myself to you. And then I laughed out loud. I said, and what a prize I am. God, you sure you even want me? You know, I'm falling apart. I wake up every day. Can't wait. Here we go. Here's miracles. I see the face of God. Look, there's 32 of us here that are staying sober. And every one of you is just a little sliver of God. I see God in everything. And that's my third step reaffirmation every single day. Then I say the prayer and I do all these other things. Because I got no life. I get to spend 2 or 3, 4 hours in prayer meditation and sending out texts of my meditation to like 100 of my closest friends. And then I do the, you know, here I am, God, and I say the prayer. And then what do you want me to think about? God puts something in my head. And that, I believe, is what meditation is. The mantras, mudras, chakras, with and without colored lights are the vehicle to open my channel. And then I get to actually meditate on what it is God wants me to think. And then I turn my meditation into 2 paragraphs because most of my friends are low attention span people. And I send out individual texts all morning to, like I said, I've never counted them, but there's like 100 of my closest friends. And so that's my third step every single morning. And it sets me up to a beautiful day, every single day. So my sponsee that was molested, she was having a tough time until we got looking at what do you want me to think about today, God? What do you want me to? And she actually had done a third step without even realizing it. But being that, I don't know if there's new people, old people, that's what third step three sort of looks like now. It's bigger than that, but and that I had a ball talking about that. But this one, you know, it's being convinced we're at step three, being convinced of what? Those ABCs. And then it says the first thing we have to realize that a life run on self-will can hardly be a success. That's the first requirement. What does a life run on self-will look like? It's me coming up with no care and direction of God. Bill, that's where Bill elaborated in steps 3 and 4. In step 3, I love in the 12 and 12 where he says, you know, unless we practice step 3, the rest of the steps are going to have little effect. That's why it really is, to my thinking, my experience, the most important decision I ever made in my life. And I was forced into that decision. Because I was convinced of the ABCs. I'm willing to try this. I don't know what this God thing is, but I'm willing to do it. Because it says we have to quit playing God, the how and the why of it. Why? Because it doesn't work. What does that mean? That means that, and I like where Bill says we're instincts in collision. In the big book, he says self-will run riot. What does that mean? That means that I'm my instinct. For society, recognition, a place among my fellows is the social instinct. We're all born social creatures. And so if I'm pursuing to, I need you to love me, I may end up just compromising my values. When I'm pursuing that instinct, I'm starting to run the show. I'll do anything to make you like me. And then they don't. So then I get pissed or I get angry. I don't know if pissed off counts as a bad word. I get angry and turn into a recluse. You're all just a bunch of jerks. Go away and leave me alone. I got my bottle. I got my, you know, I can hide in my little closet and pray and meditate, contemplate my navel and get drunk. I got through the Bhagavad Gita and 1/5 the whiskey. But it's me pursuing something, a self-determined objective, what Bill teaches us in step 6. So I'm chasing that instinct that I've determined what the satisfaction of the social instinct is going to look like. The security, financial security. I will use the Lamborghini as the ultimate goal. I will be a financial success. God, give me a portion. I'll be able to get to the meetings on time. I will be a financial success. I just need more money. Money is the measuring stick by which I measure this instinct for financial security. And the more I pursue it, when, you know, when Joe and Charlie talk about, we invite the neighbors in and burn the mortgage. And then after they've all gone home, we look next door and there is a house. Well, my house looks pretty crummy compared to that one. That Porsche that I thought I wanted would be even better if it were a Lamborghini. The self-determined objective. The self will run riot. Emotional security. Holy crow bones. If you would only treat me with a little kindness, the show would be great. I think I know what you should do to make me feel emotionally secure. I'm relying on not just my self-will, but my in possession of my self-will. Hi, Sonny. Haven't seen you in a day. I'm imposing my idea of what emotional security is on you. And the world and its people are often quite wrong. So once again, I turn into the recluse, or I turn into the mass murderer. I turn into the person that hates you all. And the only solution I got is to go get drunk again. So the my self-will, my self-determined objectives to satisfy these sex instincts. So I didn't do sex. You know, sex feels really, really good. And it ought to, because there wouldn't be any people. You know, if it sucked, the world would be a safer place because there wouldn't be so many of us running around. But what do I think? Well, this felt so good. I'm going to do it with this one and that one and more of it. And maybe something different will be better. And then I turn into a slut. You know? And then all of a sudden, I'm not sexually satisfied anymore. I'm in sexual hell. What do I do? What? How do I change that? And in step four, it says we in prayer and meditation. We ask to be shown a sane and sound ideal. What's that but a thought, a vision? That's turning my thought, my will in my life, my thinking and my actions. That's why I wish he'd left direction in the original third step. Because is it grace or is it responsibility? I suggest it's both. God changes my thinking. God provides a vision of what a better babe would be. What does it mean to be financially secure? What does it mean to be socially accepted and joyful among all God's kids? God gives me the vision. It's my responsibility to take the action. That's why it says we thought well before taking this step. Are you going to let God tell you what you ought to do? The sponsee that's speaking at the other meeting had one of her sponsees relapse, and boy, she burned it down to the ground. She called her all night long, had a car accident, and she said, and I was even praying to not drink. Well, God said, don't drink, you knucklehead. And she took her will back and drank anyway. And then once she started, she was in the grips of this disease and couldn't stop. But thought gets the bad rap in here. You know, if I'm turning my will, my thinking, and I honestly think that that is where recovery comes. What does it say when we're doing the 10th step? We turn our thoughts to someone we could help. What do we do when we're in fear? We're in the world to play the role God assigns. How do I find out what that is unless I draw close to him and listen for his direction? And then we think about, turn our thoughts to what he would have me be. This whole recovery deal begins in step three, where I'm willing to turn my thinking over to the care of God. I just recently did a talk on love, the principle behind the steps. I don't buy that. But I don't, I think the steps are the principles, but if you want to tack on extra principles, rock on. So I talked 40 minutes on love. What if you just substitute the word love for God? If you're one of those people that bristle at the thought of God, make a decision to turn my will and my life over to love. Thomas Merton says, love is our destiny. Oh, really? So we join and walk hand in hand on the road of happy destiny. You and me walking together, shoulder to shoulder on the road of love. That's not what I thought. That's not what I thought sexual or emotional or spiritual or any kind of satisfaction was. I not wanted the money, the property, the prestige, the romance. This is what it means to be a success. Then we take this these steps and we find out that the road of happy destiny is the road of love, of altruism, of self-sacrifice. I don't know if anybody here got my little text. I wrote a little, my meditation was about freedom. You know, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. You know, our society tells us, you know, freedom is selfish, self-centered individualism. Spiritual freedom is freedom from the bondage of that self. Spiritual freedom is thought of other people. It's sacrifice for God's kids. And it says that the more we become dependent on God, the more free we actually become. Because we are free to love. We are free to laugh. We are free to cry. We are free to express these emotions. I learned this from, he was my original sponsor. He's got 42 years now and I'm his sponsor. But that's irrelevant. But he said, you know, why do we call our sponsors? He says, so I know what's going on in your life, what you think about what's going on in your life, how you feel about what's going on in your life, and what you're doing about how you think about how you feel about what's going on in your life. These feelings, you know, how many feelings aren't facts? Oddly enough, in chapter 2, Bill says that feelings are the tissue out of which our whole existence is formed. It is all about my feelings. It's all about my thoughts. And a little later, it says faith is as real as the feeling we have for a friend. So if you're saying feelings aren't facts, then this faith I have isn't real. Ha! I think that's the biggest fact of my life, this faith I have, this feeling I have toward God, toward all the kids in the universe. I think feelings are really what this whole life is about. If sex didn't feel good, we wouldn't do it. If being thought of highly by our fellows didn't feel good, we wouldn't do it. Feelings are what drives us as human beings. And then this whole care and direction of God. You know, the maple tree in front of my house is following God's directions, but it's not thinking about them. We're stuck. We're blessed and cursed with the ability to think. That's where God's grace comes in, is changing my thinking. What does it say? If you want what we have, it ain't the people sitting next to you at the meeting, the people on page 25 that have deep, effective spiritual experience that revolutionize their whole attitude. What is our attitude but our thinking and our action? This whole new attitude toward God, toward the universe, toward all the kids on the playground. The central fact of their life is their creator has entered their heart and lives in a way that's indeed miraculous. God comes into our heart and changes into my heart and changes my thinking. Step 3 is where I actually am willing to open that door just a little bit, because I don't know if this is going to work, because remember, the alcoholic life is the only life I know, and I'm still chasing those self-determined objectives and it's failing miserably, and what am I going to do about that? God says, trust me. Whoa, what an order. I can't go through with it. And so I start begging God, God, make me a channel of thy peace. And that's where God builds me. But the action, the directions are, okay, babe, start bringing faith, hope, light, joy, compassion, love. That's my responsibility to do that. God gives me the direction. My responsibility is to take the action. And when I do that, amazing things happen. You got to wait all the way to the 9-step problem, promises. But we don't. Amazing things happen. Look at the promises in step 5. How amazing is that? Me and you and God aligning our will. We're not going there with a clipboard coming up with new character defects, because God's going to take them away anyway. continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear, pride, anger, lust, envy, greed, gluttony, and sloth. Thank God there's only seven of those. And I can always do better. That's why it's progress toward perfection, not progress, not perfection. We use that as an excuse. Yeah, I screwed up again yesterday. Progress, but not perfection. In this program, we're actually to be aware where we've fallen short and listen to God. Change my thinking, God. Give me a vision of what you want me to be, what you want me to think, and then help me, show me what you want me to do. And then I get to take the responsibility for the doing of it. Richard Rohr says, is it grace or responsibility? And the non-dualistic answer is it's both. It's not either or. I'm responsible to take the action. God changes my thinking. And that's what I'm asking for in step three. Change my thinking. Why? Because my way doesn't work. What do I do, God? Well, you're the dad. I'm the kid. You're the director. That means I'm asking for some directions. Ha! Even if I don't like them, I'm asking for them. He's the employer. What do I do today, God, in my new job? What is my new job? Draw close to God and perform his work well. And then we read those third step promises and we start feeling them a little bit when we've made this decision. But it's through the rest of the steps where those third step promises come in. We are reborn. What is reborn? Do I have to crawl back into a vagina? No, that might be fun. No, that wasn't nice. But what is the reborn? It's the rebirth of my original thinking, what I came into the world with, this trust and fear. And then the longer I'm around, the more the fear takes over, the more I become more self-reliant. And then I burn my life to the ground. And that's why step one is so important. That when I've got no more answers, I'm willing to try this. And I kind of cringed, you know, when we thought, well, am I at last ready to abandon myself utterly? Whoa, I don't even know if there's a God. And now you're asking me to abandon myself utterly to this thing that I don't understand. I wish they'd never said God as we understand him. I think the fundamental idea of the heart of every man, woman, and child is love. That's why I like using God as love with a capital L. There's love in every one of our hearts, and the worldly clamors come in there and we build the walls around them to keep out the pain, but it also keeps out the joy. It keeps out God. It keeps out each other. And this whole process is tearing down the walls I built around my heart and let the people in. Trust God. Clean house. The tearing down the walls is the cleaning house. The trust in God is where I'm asking God, change my thinking. And then help others. Richard Rohr says, love wholeheartedly. Give thanks and praise. Be surprised. And you will know the full measure of life. Surprise me, God. Show me the miracles every single day. That's why that's part of my third step every morning routine. I'm ready for a brand new day. I'm ready to sit here in Boston, except Regina says it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I am so confused. Those worldly clamors, clocks and calendars are not my friend. That's why this whole life is delightful with its pain, with its agony, with this stuff, because we can hold out our hand and change somebody's life. If I'm willing to live that third step decision. And what is a decision but a thought? You know, we all hear the three frogs on the log story, so I ain't gonna, except the lady I was just doing step three with a while ago, never heard the three frogs on the log story. But the decision, I've changed a thought, I've made a thought, I'm gonna do this. But then the direction part of that thought is jump! My responsibility. God changed my thinking. I made a decision, but it's my responsibility to listen to the changed thought. So thinking is not such a bad deal because we're stuck with it. All the little animals, we may, I don't know, dolphins or whales maybe. But the rest of the world is just following the direction of God. They're doing it, but they're not thinking about it. They just do it. We're stuck with brains. And the book tells us God gave us brains to use. And all we ever used them for was selfish, self-centered, self-will run riot, resentment, bitterness, fear, selfish relationships. And now we're in trouble. Why? Because I'm playing God. God says, help your brother, love one another, sacrifice for each other. That sounds like bondage to me when it turns out to be actual freedom. That's why we think well before taking the step. That's why it's the most important decision we ever make. Am I really ready to let God change my thinking, change my attitude and outlook? And that's why this works so well in Alcoholics Anonymous, because we've already burned our life to the ground. Did you give me a 5-minute warning yet? I haven't been paying attention. I get wrapped up in self-will.
Hey, babe. I think Jamie had a hand up, but whenever you're ready to wrap, sweetheart.
Okay. That's why I say I need loud warnings. Shut up, babe. And I say, you can't hurt my feelings.
You have 4 minutes.
Cool. And so this whole decision that we make, these instincts in collision, that I'm using to determine what my life should look like. That's why in meditation, we form an image of what God would have us be. Why we turn our thinking. Get a Concordia and look how many times the word thinking and thought is put in the book. So if somebody tells you your first thought is wrong, it doesn't have to be. It might be the most beautiful thought you ever had in your life. It might be that thought that I am now ready to take this step. God, I offer myself to thee. Why? So he can make something of this wreck of a human being. Relieve me of the bondage of self, what I just been talking about all along. So I better do your will. That's asking God for direction again. Take away my difficulties. Who doesn't want their difficulties taken away? Why? So I can tell even Pamela, though I'm putting her to sleep. I love Pamela. so I can tell you guys, this way of life is beyond my wildest dreams. This is the new freedom. This is the new happiness. This is joy. This is love. And it starts with a decision. God, change my thinking. Now we launch into a course of vigorous action. But that's the next guy that's coming on. So I will shut up.